Before the throne of God above.
Hello, and welcome to Sovereign Grace Today. I'm Michael Goins. We are currently involved in an exposition of 1 Corinthians. If you have access to a Bible, open with us to that New Testament epistle and stay tuned for today's message.
My name is written on his heart. I know that while in him he stands, no tongue can bid me thirsty part.
On today's program, we continue our study in 1 Corinthians. We're in the introductory section to the letter, and currently we are examining some of the terms that the Apostle Paul employs to describe the church of God. Today's message is part two of a sermon entitled, You Are a Saint. And the great doctrine of sanctification is the focus of our thoughts today. Stay tuned for today's message.
It's the same verb tense in Hebrews 10:10. By God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It sounds like what Jesus did on the cross is sufficient to make you holy in the sight of God. That's why in Hebrews 10:29, later in the chapter, it says, and probably the most sobering warning against presumptuous sin in the Bible, against a person walking away when they know better from the Lord. It says, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. Did you know a person who has already been made a saint, who has been sanctified past tense already, through the blood of Christ, can live in such a way as to cast reproach upon that blood and count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing? Paul warns us against that in this verse. But that doesn't change the fact that you are already a saint. You know what I'm looking at this morning? You say, you're looking at a motley crew here this morning. No, I'm looking at a bunch of saints here this morning. You are a saint. You are. You're a saint today. You say, really? You mean I'm a saint? Yes, in Christ Jesus. Because God loved you and set you apart as his own before the world began, Jesus Christ positionally made you holy on the cross. And did you know when you were born again, something happened on the inside of you to make you holy? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the same book. Now we're studying through 1 Corinthians, right? Look at chapter 6, verse 11. Start in verse 9. Know ye not, says Paul, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Unrighteous people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of these members at Corinth had a very checkered past. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul says, you've lived a pretty bad, sinful, wicked kind of life, but God has changed you. You've been washed clean. You've been cleaned up. Is there anybody here this morning who says, preacher, I've lived a pretty vile, sinful past. I've committed some pretty heinous sins. I want to tell you, my beloved, did you know when the Lord takes up residence in your heart and you're born again, when he regenerates, when he quickens a person in a vital sense, that new nature that is implanted in the soul is created, as Ephesians 4:24 says, in righteousness and true holiness. So what Jesus did for you positionally at the cross is put inside of you, implanted in your heart vitally. When you're born again, you are washed, you are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Lord has changed your life, given you a new nature, given you a holy, pure nature that cannot sin. Now you still have the old nature indeed, but vitally you're a saint. You're a saint in a covenant sense, in a positional sense, in a vital sense. And then you say, preacher, okay, the Lord dwells inside of me. Jesus Christ has constituted me as holy, legally speaking, on the cross. God has loved me and chosen me as his own before the foundation of the world, but I still struggle. I wish I could be free of sin and completely holy. Did you know one day you will be entirely sanctified? You've been in a covenant sense, in a positional sense, in a vital sense, one day in an entire sense. You're going to be made pure. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you, W-H-O-L-L-Y means holy. Not H-O-L-Y, but in a complete sense. And may the very God of peace sanctify you completely, entirely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know on resurrection morning, I'm going to be a saint in my body, soul, and spirit. I'm going to be given a pure body to match my pure heart. I'm going to have a pure mind that will never struggle with impurity again. Won't that be wonderful? Did you know I hate sin more than anything? Now, there's a part of me that loves it, that finds it pleasurable. But I want to tell you, my beloved, sin brings heartache into my life. Sin is the cause of all trouble in the world. It's the cause of it all. And though there's a side, a carnal side of us that is attracted to that which is wrong and evil, I want to tell you that experience has taught me that my worst enemy is my old fallen nature, my flesh. And I'm looking forward to that day when not only in my inner man, my soul and my spirit, but in my body, I'm going to be glorified, made like to the glorious image of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a saint. You say, will you have a halo, Brother Mike? I don't know. I'll be like Christ, whatever that is. I'll be holy, never to be troubled by sin, never to have a bad thought, never to have a bad attitude, never to wander from the Lord. Never again will I be covetous, proud, lustful. Never again will I be self-centered. Never again, my friends, will I be hurtful to others. Never will my mind wander. You're a saint today. It's just as sure that you're going to be entirely sanctified as if you were already there, as if you were already in that condition, because the Lord has promised that all that He loved and redeemed will be glorified, will be made like unto the glorious image of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be sanctified and preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are a saint, my beloved. In other words, what I'm saying is you're already holy and fit for heaven in Christ. Now, the second part of my sermon, Paul says in our text, unto them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You are sanctified, snapshot action, but you're called to be. Here's my sermon this morning. You are a saint, now live like it. That's exactly what Paul is saying in our text. Now live like it. Let's talk about that for a moment. You and I are called to be in daily practical behavior what we already are in a positional sense before God. This is your identity. You're a saint. Now live up to your name. The story is told of Alexander the Great when one of his soldiers was misbehaving. The soldier was brought before Alexander for court-martial proceedings. And Alexander asked him the question, "What is your name?" And the man said, "Alexander." And he asked him again, "Soldier, what is your name?" And he said, "Alexander." And he asked him the third time for the sake of emphasis, "Soldier, what is your name?" He said, "Alexander." And then the emperor spoke and said, "That is my name. Either change your conduct or change your name." What he was saying is, you wear a very noble label, live up to it. I think that's really what Paul is saying in our text. You are a saint. Now, live like a saint. Quit living like a sinner. You know, the folks at Corinth needed this message. You are called to be saints. You're called to be in your daily behavior what you already are in your heart and in a positional sense before God. You're called to be who you are. Did you know that's really what all gospel preaching is about? The gospel calls us to be who we are, to live up to our position in Christ, to be in practice who we already are, positionally speaking. In other words, I don't preach the gospel to make people children of God. I preach the gospel to help children of God learn to live like children of God. That's the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to help us live in this sinful world according to our true identity in the Lord. I hope you believe this morning that you are a saint. The challenge is for us to be true to our position. He says, called to be saints. What calls us to be saints? The gospel does. Every time we hear a gospel sermon, it is calling upon us to behave ourselves in a saintly way in this world. May I ask you this morning the very pointed question, are you behaving like a saint? Or have you been behaving like a sinner? I'm asking you about your attitudes. I'm asking about the way you talk. I'm asking about your thought life. I'm asking about your conduct, your daily conduct. See, Brother Mike, this is where the gospel is not very appealing to me. I want to be a saint without having to behave like a saint. Somebody told me one time, I want to go to heaven, and I believe I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to live as I please in this world. I told this person, you don't truly understand the gospel. If you really understand all that the Lord did for you, I don't see how you could want to abandon yourself to sin and decadence. To me, that's the greatest incentive. The cross of Christ is the greatest incentive to holiness. It's not a license to sin. You say, well, I'm going to heaven anyway, so I'm going to live like I please. You talk about an insult to the grace of God. My beloved, He gave His life for you. Jesus Christ endured pain for you. Jesus Christ endured disrepute. He suffered an ignominious kind of death. The brutality that He endured, the agony, the soul suffering, He was a reproach to his friends and his brethren even. They deemed him an outcast. You talk about loneliness. He did all of that for me. He bore the wrath of God for me. How could I play and toy with the thing that cost him his all, his everything? Grace, my beloved, should be a great motivation in our lives. Understanding what Jesus did on the cross. He saved you from hell, from the lowest hell, from a devil's hell. He rescued me like a firebrand plucked from the burning. He bore the punishment that I deserved. He bore it on his own shoulders and his own body on the tree. Oh, what ingratitude, vile ingratitude would it be for me to spurn his love and to say, well, I'm going to take my fill of sin in this world. Oh, my beloved, I say today, you're called to be saints. God has already separated you as his own. He's already marked you out. He's already put his love around you and said, these are my people. He's done a work of grace in your heart and given you a holy principle that loves him and wants to grow and wants to do right. Jesus Christ has sanctified you positionally on the cross. And one day, even your body's going to be made completely holy, like your regenerate soul. Now the gospel calls upon you and me in our lives to live like it. 1 Peter 1:15 says it like this, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We're talking about conversation, behavior. The word conversation in the Bible speaks of your lifestyle, the way you're living, your conduct. When we speak of practical sanctification, we're not talking about something that determines whether you go to heaven or not. You're already a saint in Christ. But we're talking about living consistently with your position right now in your behavior. Being more Christ-like in the way you walk and talk on a daily basis. That should be the goal of every person in this building this morning. Every young child, your desire should be to be more like Jesus. Every middle-aged person, every young family, every elderly person, every married person, every single person, every one of us here this morning should desire to be more like Christ in our behavior. When people look at you and me, do they see evidence that resembles the Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel calls us, my beloved, to this kind of ethical sanctification. Now, this is a process. Eternal sanctification is not a process. It's instantaneous, snapshot, sudden event. But this is a process. We grow in the way we behave, our ability to control our behavior, to walk in a way that is more Christ-like. This is a process of growth. We should be on an ever-increasing basis, more and more like Jesus Christ, and the Word of God is the instrument by which we grow. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify them through what? The Word, the truth. For thy Word is truth. That verse does not have to do with your eternal sanctification. You already are sanctified in Christ Jesus, eternally speaking. This has to do with the second part, living like it. Called to be saints. And it's through the Word of God that Jesus says we're sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, as we hear God's word preached, as we read it, as we meditate on it, memorize it, try to implement it in our lives, we make progress in behaving ourselves more Christianly. Does that make sense to you? We need the word. It is the means by which this practical sanctification takes place in our lives. Turn with me, if you please, to a real practical section of Scripture in Ephesians 4:22 as we wrap our thoughts up this morning. Paul says in Ephesians 4:22, talking about living like it, you are a saint, now live like it. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now here's the imagery, taking off the old garments and putting on new garments. Put off your old manner of life, the way you used to behave. Don't live like that anymore. Concerning the former conversation, behavior, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So think biblically. Have your mind challenged by Scripture, and then put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You've already had something created inside of you. Now put it on in your behavior. Be who you are. Now he gets real specific. After stating the general principle of putting off and putting on, he says, put away lying. Here's the first area that we need to be more sanctified in our conduct, in our speech patterns. I want to say dishonesty is a very subtle problem in all of our lives. It creeps in before you know it. We find ourselves starting to tell little lies, and you do it before you even recognize it. The phone rings. Tell them I'm not here. I'm sorry, I'm busy. Oh, really? You're busy? You can't come by, can't help me? No, I'm busy. Got a lot of work to catch up on. What we really mean is I need to watch the fourth quarter of this ball game, see how it turns out. You know, you show up at the doctor's office, you had an appointment at 1 o'clock, and you show up at 1:10, and you say, "Whoa, the traffic's terrible." It may be, but what you really did is you left too late, didn't you? But you see how it can creep in so subtly. You know, the check's in the mail. It was mailed last Friday, which means you really meant I'm going to mail it Monday. But just, did you know one little lie leads to another lie? It snowballs, leads to another lie. It's amazing how dishonesty can become a dominant activity in our lives. I want to tell every young person here today, don't start telling little lies. Your parents say, "Who got this toy out? Who left their coat out?" Don't start saying, "Not me, not me, not me." You know, it's amazing how Harvey the Invisible Rabbit does so many things at my house. Harvey the Invisible Rabbit gets people's coats out of the closet and leaves them all over the house and leaves shoes all over the place, but nobody's ever responsible. Somebody says, "I didn't do it. It's not my fault." Paul says, "Brethren, put off lying." That's a characteristic of your old lifestyle. Put off lying. And every man, you speak the truth with your neighbor. Oh, may God help us to be more Christ-like, more sanctified in our speech. You know, when we start talking about being a saint, that's what we're talking about, talking like a Christian ought to talk. Not cursing, not boasting, not being vulgar in our speech, not engaging in flattery with our tongues, but being sincere, truthful, honest, pure in our speech, in our attitudes. You're called to be saints, says Ephesians 4:22 and following, not only in your speaking, but in your attitude. He says, be angry and sin not. Control your temper. Did you know when we're talking about being holy people, that's what we're talking about, controlling our temper. Now, I said this morning, we're going to talk about being saints. And you thought, well, I don't know really what that means. Here's what I'm talking about. Watch how you talk. Control your temper. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. The devil will take advantage of a person who has a bad temper to control their lives quicker than anything that we can snap our fingers at this morning. Satan has a foothold and a foot in the door in that person's life. So that's why he says, be careful how you deal with anger in your life. Then he says, let him that stole steal no more. Not only in our talking and our attitudes, but in our activities, our conduct. Don't be a cheater. Don't cheat on tests. Don't cheat on your taxes. Don't take something that belongs to somebody else. Let him that stole steal no more. You see, put off and then put on. But rather, let him labor with. You've got the negative and the positive. Here's what it means to be holy. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Work hard, work with your hands, and then you'll not only be able to pay your own bills, but you'll be able to minister to others. You'll be able to give to the person who's in need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What an important verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Watch all of these attitudes. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You are a saint, says Paul. Now I want you to live like it. I read one time about John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace. I read about his life rule. John Newton said, I make it a rule of Christian duty never to go to a place where there is not room for my master as well as myself. You know, that's a good life rule, my beloved. When we talk about living a saintly life, never go to a place where you can't take Jesus with you. Where did you take him this week? You take him with you everywhere you go. Do you know that? You take Jesus with you everywhere you go. Where did you take him this week? What did he hear you say? What did he see you do? He's with you everywhere you go, everything you do, every moment of the day. Where did you take him this week? You know, there are places I wouldn't want to take my dad, you know. I admire him so much, and I wouldn't want to take him there. But you know, more than that, there are places that I wouldn't want to take Jesus. Where did you take him this week? John Newton said, I make it a rule of Christian duty never to go to a place where there's not room for my master, as well as myself. You're called to be a saint. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you there yet? You're called to be a saint. Somebody once said, a sign reading under construction should be hung around the neck of every believer. That's true. I'm not there yet. I'm not very saintly. These Corinthians weren't there yet, but the gospel, every time it's preached, challenges us to be and practice what we already are, positionally speaking, before God. These Corinthians were not behaving very saintly, and that's why Paul is writing this letter to them, to help them be more consistent in living up to their identity in Christ. It's not easy to be a saint in a sinful world, but my friends, that's the challenge facing us this morning. And the assurance we have is that in the sight of God, we already are holy through what Jesus Christ has done for us. May God help us to live like it.
And with that, we come to the conclusion of this message, message number 3 in the Exposition of 1 Corinthians series, and we also conclude a week of broadcasting here on Sovereign Grace Today. As we sign off, I would like to encourage you to visit us at Bethel Primitive Baptist Church for public worship if you're in the Coastal Carolina area this coming Lord's Day. Our church website at bethelpbc.us will give directions and worship time, so be sure to consult that website for instructions. I hope you'll join us next week as we continue this verse-by-verse study through 1 Corinthians. And now, until next week at this same time, may the Lord bless and keep you.